The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport podcast. My name is Jack McCarron of the Southern Star and I'm joined by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. The Star Sport podcast is brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose the credit union, choose local, choose community. On this week's podcast, we'll be joined by Eoghan Gaels manager Paul Holland, who steered the club, which is an amalgamation of Aberdeen Rangers and Barry Roe, to Carberry Under-21A glory this season with victory over Noosestown. We're also going to hear from Una Tuhig, who has been chatting to Ger McCarty. Una is the captain of the Naiva Bawn ladies footballers, who take on Salt Hill Knocknacarra in the All-Ireland Club Junior Final in Kilmallock at 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's already been a historic year for the Gaeltacht club, who claimed the provincial crown when beating Limerick Kingpins Ula in November. But Kieran, before we dive into those conversations, a quick roundup of some of the big West Cork sporting stories making the headlines this week. And first off, Bandon Athletics Club athlete Fiona Everard stormed to National Novice Cross Country glory at Sunday's 123.ie National Novice and Juvenile Uneven Cross Country Championships hosted by St. Catharines in Cork. Yet another West Cork athletic success, Kieran.
Yeah, exactly that. Another great West Cork athletic success story. And this is just a great sports story in general, because Fiona was out of action for a couple of years with injury. And this was just her fourth cross-country race since March 2020. But what a way to announce her arrival back in style. So she won the women's novice title at the cross-country championships that were held in Connacht, hosted by St. Catharines here in Cork. And just superb, superb win. And she was a dominant winner too. Just a really strong, dominant, controlled performance by Fiona. So she's from Inneskeen. She went to school in MICC in Dunmanway. And she was a very, very highly rated, very talented schools athlete for MICC. Like I said, she had her injury problems over the last couple of years, but in the last couple of months, she's been back on track, back in cross country, should I say, as well. And she finished in the top 10 at the National Senior Championships in Donegal a couple of weeks ago, and she went one step further at the beginning and took gold. So absolutely brilliant to see Fiona on top of the podium and bringing another gold medal back to West Cork. And just while we're on the cross country championships, we have to mention Paul O'Donovan. He finished 79th in the men's novice cross-country race. And you're thinking, Jesus, that's 79th. That's, you know, how does that kind of stack up? But for context, Paul is a rower. He's not an athlete. There were 198 athletes in this men's novice cross-country race, and Paul finished 79th. So he was ahead of 119 other athletes who have athletics as their first choice. And it was also, I think, and my maths could be wrong here, I think it was 93 seconds off bronze, which isn't that far away at all, because it was such a huge field and such a bunched entry as well. So it was a really strong performance by Paul O'Donovan. And it's just interesting to see, it's the second year in a row that Paul has ventured off into the cross country in his, you could say, off season from rowing, but just keeps him tipping away. So while he didn't win a medal and he finished 79th, he was still in the headlines. But the main headline has to go to Fiona Everard.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to Fiona and commiserations to Paul for finishing so far down the field. I'm sure you'll be back on the podium when you get back in the boat, Paul. So, you know, keep the chin up. Don't get too bogged down about that result. Top 100, not too bad. Switching to GAA, Kieran, and the news emerged over the last few days that James McCarty is staying on as Castlehaven senior football manager for 2023 in what will be his fourth successive campaign at the helm. And they've gone close in recent years, Kieran. There's been semi-finals, etc. So I guess James still thinks there's enough in this team to warrant him staying on and going to try and break that duck of senior county title successes for Castlehaven. Or not the duck, their recent fallow period.
Of course, it was us here in the Star that broke that news on Sunday night, Jack, that James Mack is staying on as Castlehaven senior football manager, like you said, for his fourth season in a row. And he's breaking his own rule here as such. I remember talking to him back earlier this year when he decided to stay on for Castlehaven manager for a third year. And he told me he usually just does 2 years before he moves on, but he was persuaded to stay on for the 2022 season. And he has stayed on again for 2024. So that's it'll be James's fourth year in this stint as Castlehaven senior football manager. So back in 2020, they got to the Premier Senior Football Final, which they lost to Nemo, and they've been semi-finalists the last 2 years. So they haven't been too far away at all. So James knows that the Castlehaven, they're one of the top three teams in the Premier Senior Football Championship. We've Haven, we've Nemo and the Bears. And they've been the top three for a bit now. And Castlehaven just are not that far away. You're talking inches away from getting back to the county final. And who knows what will happen there. So he has changed up his backroom team a small bit. He's brought in Shawnee Cahalan, is actually a very interesting addition to the Castlehaven senior football management team this year. Shawnee is a county winning captain with the Haven, so he's probably the big name addition. They've actually kept on a couple of last years. I'm looking at it here. David Limerick and Brendan Deasy, who were selectors this season, are staying on again for next season. Inda Buckley has come on board as a selector as well, and Bernie Collins is a coach. So that's the Haven management team for 2023. And in this Thursday's Southern Star, we'll have more news on the other management teams for the West Cork clubs in the Premier Senior Football Championship. So namely, that's Clonakilty, that's Carbery Rangers, and that's the Carbery Senior Football Team. So we'll have updates on their management teams as well in Thursday's Star.
There's a teaser, if ever I've heard one, for Thursday's paper. Lastly, Kieran, before we hear from this week's guests, we're going to switch away from West Cork for a brief moment, because it looks as though football might actually be coming home. England were impressive for large spells against Senegal in their 3-0 win on Sunday night in the last 16 of the World Cup. And what I want to know, Kieran, is can Gareth Southgate's men win the World Cup? And secondly, do you want to see them win the World Cup?
Oh, two good questions. Can they win it? Of course they can. Do I want to see them win it? It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't bother me if they win it or not, because the odds are they've probably come up just short. So if I say, yeah, I don't mind they'll win it, I'm kind of, the safety net is that they're not going to win it, you know? I think we learn a lot more about them in their next game against France. That's going to be the real acid test. Like, France look good as well. And if you look at the side of the draw that England are on right now, if they get through France, you're probably looking at a Spain or Portugal in the semi-final, which will be obviously another tough test. And if they get to the final, possibly a Brazil or an Argentina. So they'll have to beat three big teams in the next couple of weeks to bring football home. But can they do it? Of course they can. They're a team over the last couple of years. They just know how to win matches now, don't they? You've seen it, the World Cup 4 years ago at the Euros last summer. They're just able to kind of grind out results. Look at the first 30 minutes against Senegal. They were pretty poor. Senegal had two or three big chances there. But all of a sudden, England clicked into gear. Bellingham, what a player. What a player. There'll be some scramble for his signature next summer, but he was superb. But all of a sudden, England were 3-0 up after, 55, 60 minutes? It was game over. They were able to run their bench. I do think this England team is a lot more likeable than England teams in the past. You know, kind of, there's a video of them landing back to their team hotel on Sunday evening, and you could see the likes of, I know the podcast listeners might like this, but the likes of Grealish and Declan Rice dancing away and having the crack in Mason Mount was inside there too, and you can see they're having fun out there. It could all end in tears next Saturday night against France. Like, you have to look at it, Jack. Mbappe against Harry Maguire. Like, there's only going to be one winner there. Like, Mbappe's in form right now. His two goals on Saturday night were incredible. But it's just going to be so interesting. I think if England come through, they beat France. Like, they could go all the way to the final then.
Just on Mbappe there, I absolutely loved his second goal in particular, because the position he was in the box, the obvious shot for him was to open the body and curl it into the far top corner a la ex-French legend Thierry Henry. And that's the way the goalkeeper shaped. That's the way the defender shaped. They almost offered him near post and said, look, if you can get it in there, Joe, fair play to you. But try and get it past us in this far corner. Mbappe took the harder option and buried it into the close top corner, the near side. Just inch perfect accuracy. And as you say, it's going to be the first real challenge for the English defence in particular. Like, even Harry Maguire looked rocky on Sunday night against an admittedly fairly weak Senegalese front line. So it'll be interesting to see how he copes with Olivier Giroud, who's just cracked Henri's record as France's all-time leading goal scorer. And then the raids from Mbappe coming in from left to right. He just looks scintillating, sensational, unstoppable at the minute. It's like almost a pleasure and an honour to be watching on television. So I'm with you. I think if they can get past France, they may go all the way, because even though Spain seemed to be the best team after the first round of group games, they've kind of fluttered to the sea since then. I don't think Portugal are much of a threat to England either. I think France is the big game, and then it could be a march all the way to the final for England. And then obviously Brazil, probably coming from that side of the draw, could give them a stern test as well. But if they get past France, anything could happen.
We'll probably hear it's coming home over here in Skipperine from the pubs of London and Manchester and so on. But I have to say, you're talking about an honour to watch Mbappe. Watching Argentina the last night, Messi, I'm like, for a man of 35 years of age, that second half, I thought he oozed class. And after that performance, and I'm nailing my colours to the Argentinian mast, I want them to win the World Cup. And I know it's just pretty cliche to win it for Messi, but he's just, they put up his stats, that was his 1,000th game, 41 trophies, 780, 790 goals, over 300 assists. Like, the man is just unstoppable. But just to see him perform on the big stage, but what did it for me is, that's a very average Argentinian team. It really is. Like, it's really built around Messi. And they're not a team that's going to set the world on fire, but they're starting to build a bit of momentum. You can see how much it means to them, the passion, the heart in that team, and to see the celebrations after. I'd love to see Argentina go the whole way. I really would. Even for Lisandro Martinez, his block in the second half late on was just brilliant. They're just a team you can relate to, like, just the work ethic and the dog in them, like the real heart in them. So I'd love to see Argentina go the full way, but Brazil are there, aren't they? They really are, you know. And if Brazil hit form, I think they'd be very hard to stop. But it's going to be an exciting couple of weeks.
Just on Messi and the joy it is to watch him. Like, I have found myself every Argentina game joining in the crowds at the games with that kind of like a messianic cheer that they're doing. Messi, Messi. It's an unbelievable sound and sight. So yeah, really, I hope they continue on this quest. Brazil, since Neymar has been injured, haven't been as impressive either. So I'm not sure what his state of play is. It seems like he may be out until the final. I saw his father giving quotes saying that he'll be back for the final, almost trying to wish it into reality that they will make it all the way so that he can come back. But look, nothing beats the World Cup. I know there's plenty of reasons to give out about this one, but on the field of play, I have no complaints. It's been absolutely, well, I do have a few complaints about VAR. We won't go into the negative nonsense, but that's the World Cup. England could do it. Kieran hopes Argentina do it. I have to admit, I have a soft spot for the Japanese, so I'm hopeful that they can continue on their journey against Croatia today. But this podcast will probably come out after that game's been over, so hopefully Japan are celebrating.
Before we move on, Jack, did you see the Senegal fans on Sunday night, the noise, and you've the lads with the different letters, S-E-N-E-G-A-L. Yeah. I think there's a piece of the letter coming up very soon, just a big piece about that. They've been doing that since 2002, almost the same fellas, the fellow whose S has always been S and so on.
Really?
How about the Republic of Ireland fans? I know it's very long. You need, what, 20 fans? And we're probably too pasty and white. But did you see the noise and the colour that they brought? I know Roy Keane finds it annoying, or irritating was the word that he reached for. But the noise out of them. Could you imagine 20 pasty Irish fellas with Republic of Ireland along their chests across the Aviva. Like, Jesus, what a way to get the boys in green going, huh?
It mightn't be as comfortable on a cold winter's night in Dublin as it is on a balmy, sunny, warm evening in Doha. But look, I'm sure you can get 10 or 20 or however many you need drunk enough Irish fans who'd be willing to do it. But Kieran, let's park the World Cup for now, because we're going to hear from Paul Holland, who's the manager of Iban Gaels. And for those who don't know, Iban Gaels are an amalgamation of Aberdeen Rangers and Barry Rowe at underage level. And they won the Carbery Under-21A football title this year. And anything else you want to tell us about Iban and Paul Kieran before we hear from the man himself?
Yeah, it's just been a great year for Iban Gaels. So Iban Gaels actually won the Carbery Under-21A double this year. Hurling and football, and in both games they beat Newcestown, and in both games they beat Newcestown in dramatic circumstances. So their most recent win was in the Carbery Under-21A football final. Ryan O'Donovan was the hero there. I think he finished with 9 points. It's a game where at one stage in the second half, Ivan were up 10 points. Newcestown came back, actually hit the front. Ivan levelled the game in injury time, forced extra time, and Ryan O'Donovan kicked 2 late points in extra time to win the game. So just huge. Huge win for Iban Gaels, and great too for Barry Rowe and Aberdeen Rangers as well. Like you said, it's an amalgamated club. So Matthew Hurley caught up with Paul Holland just to chat about what this means to Iban Gaels. And it was, as you'll hear now, a really, really interesting interview.
So what a year has been for Iban Gaels. Not only did they win the Hurling Under-21A Carbery Championship, but also the football as well recently against Newcestown after extra time in an absolute thriller of a game. And I'm delighted to be joined here by Paul Hollands, their manager of the team and a legend in the managerial circles himself. So how are things with yourself, Paul? Have things in IBM calmed down?
They have, yeah, actually. There was a Sunday evening, was a fair bit of excitement. I think the nature of the way the game finished, I'd say, contributed to that. And sure, look, they all headed back up to Cork on Monday to meet their friends in college or whatever, like the lads that are on tour level, so we didn't see much of them. But actually, look, just, you couldn't fault them for having knocking a day or two out of it anyway, you know?
And I suppose, what's that been like, fellas going up to college and back down to West Cork? Like, I've heard from Pat Nolan, the Gabriels manager, the last few weeks, saying there was an issue there, with trainings, etc. They had to train on Friday evenings. Has there been any sort of pressure with yourself, or have the lads just brought into the whole thing?
No, sure, look, similar to it's every other club at that age group with lads away in college. Once the championship starts, you only get them on a Friday night. We have a couple of lads playing Cornivory with Clannachilty. We have a couple of lads playing Freshers in college in Cork and stuff. So, weren't too worried about the midweek. If they got a session in themselves with the school or the college, was fine. We just got together on a Friday night and got our ducks in a row, really spoke about the game Sunday, what we needed to do, and light session, and that was it really, Joe.
To do the Under-21 double is remarkable for a club like Iban, obviously an amalgamation between Barrow and Timoleague. It's an unreal achievement to win both in 1 year. Like, what was the kind of the key behind that? Were the players just driven to do it this year?
I'd say very few people would be aware of the key behind it, but it was actually last year's hurling championship. If I can remember correctly, it was kind of put on at short notice, and it was played, I think, at 9:30 on the Sunday morning up in Aheola last year. We were playing Newcestown, actually, and I wasn't directly involved. I went up to watch it, and Danny Murphy was in charge of hurling, and we just didn't turn up. And all the mentors, and Danny Murphy included, and myself, who'd been involved with the lads down through the years, we were very disappointed that morning. Didn't show up at all. We put 5, 6, 7 years of work into that bunch, and that morning, I'd say set the tone for the season if I was being totally honest looking back at it,
I suppose to win the football in dramatic circumstances, as you said previously in the chat, for Newcestown to go a point up going into additional time, and then for Ryan to kick that score, then Newcestown get a goal in extra time, and then you win it at the date. It was dramatic scenes at the end.
Yeah, well, I actually think the hurling was equally as a crazy finish. We were leading all the way. I think Newcestown equalised in the 67th minute of normal time that day. They actually went 4 points up then in extra time. We were 4 points down at halftime in extra time in the hurling final, and we got 5 points in a row to win it. And there's no doubt in my mind that it stood to the bunch for the rest of the year, especially in the 21 football. And we actually spoke about it at the end of normal time before we started extra time. You know, we've been there before. And again, at halftime, we were 2 points down in the football final last day. But I thought that scoreline was wrong insofar as I thought we were played the better football in the first 10 minutes of extra time. We turned the ball over, coming out of defence. They got a goal off it, put us 2 points down. But, you know, as I said to lads at halftime in extra time, I said if we can't create two chances and take them, then we don't deserve to win it. Like, but, you know, I think we 621 games all year, and I don't think we won any more than by... There was a score in each game, I think, you know, which is a great sign of the team as well.
I suppose you mentioned the great sign of the team there, like to bounce back from losing, you said the hurling last year, the football as well, a pretty heavy defeat to Carbery Rangers last season as well. So, like, to bounce back and to win both titles and do them in extra time as well, it's remarkable. And it probably just shows the sign of a good group there.
Yeah, look, I mean, we wouldn't have been overly disappointed with the football last year insofar as Ross had a very strong team last year. We got to the final of it. So we performed a decent level. Eamon Ginnivan was over them last year there. And, you know, we had to play that final not at full strength. We'd fellas involved in Cork under 20s and that. And that was just the condition of the competition at the time. It really, for me, and I didn't reference it to the lads, but for me, being involved this year, being up in Aheo last year, watching that under 21 hurling championship game, where it looked as if we didn't want to be there, to be honest. Like, you know, it was half nine on Sunday morning. Lucestown was strong. They were up for it. We never got to the pitch of the game, or we never kind of made an attempt to get to it. And, you know, that was in the back of my mind for the year, to be honest.
And you mentioned losing to Ross last season, but obviously you beat them in the semi-finals, you beat Castlehaven at the quarter-finals, two premier senior sides in the Cork Championship as well, with very good players like Robbie Minahan, Tomasa Manny, I think, was playing as well, Pat O'Rourke, loads of them, I think Jack Cavan might have been as well for Carbery Rangers. So, like, they were brimmed with talent, and he still came out the winning side of it both games, and against Lucestown, to be fair to them as well, who are a premier senior side this season as well. So, a brilliant one.
Yeah, look, I suppose that's the biggest challenge when you have your players are playing junior. Like, we have fellas playing under 21 that didn't start on their respective clubs' junior teams this year. We have fellas that started this year in all those games and were giving them very important jobs that didn't make the team when they were minor. So, like, you know, the lads that are interested stick at it. They try to improve, they learn. But the biggest thing there is we had to change the lads' mindset, like, when they got together as a dual amalgamated club. You know, they're like no other young lad in West Cork. When they've got their own sport played at the weekend, they're going to go into Bandon to watch Castlehaven play Nemo, or they're going to go down to Clann to watch Ross against Nemo, or up Lucestown against Clonrock. And they're going in watching guys their own age, playing on a big stage, big experience, big exposure. And I suppose the biggest job we kind of felt down through the years with our lads was trying to get the belief into them that, you know, it's a level playing field. No, Grander with a big club and they're playing a higher grade than you, but when you're in your own age group, they are what they are, and we have what we have. And I suppose we're lucky. It could have gone either way. The group of lads that we have kind of accepted that test, I suppose, and challenge, and they kind of saw that they weren't far away at the start. And we, like, Lucestown beat us in the minor hurling final in Clann 3 years ago. Great game, and they deserved to win in the day. But, you know, I know for a fact that game has stuck in our players' minds for a good few years as well, like, you know.
And like you mentioned, a lot of them players playing junior and a lot of them going to watch games and stuff like that. Like, they learn tips along the way. It seemed that way anyway, because the players played brilliant this year, a few of them players, and really it was a team effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, I suppose we have a couple of names there, like guys that have got exposure. Again, it's very easy to run a line through it. When they're being got together, more of our players ended up maybe on Clann Community College Corny Free team because we're playing at a higher level and they were up to the pace for when they went in there for that. Then the guys that did well there got seen by Cork, and we have the last 3 or 4 years for an area like this, which would have a massive tradition in inter-county football. We have a couple of minor All-Irelands, we have a couple of Munster under 20 medals around the place. So, you know, we'd be happy enough that what we have, and the biggest thing we have is the guys in the background have worked hard at their own game. to try and get up to that level, and they are reaching that, you know.
And I suppose, like, during that game against Newstown, obviously the Ryan freeze, the free to equalise it at the end, and then the free to win it, like, stuff of dreams, really. I know he's a Cork minor and he scored a goal after extra time against Galway, but that has to be up there with one of the best moments of his career, surely. Like, and like, just as a matter of interest, like, how were you feeling before Ryan stepped up to the ball? First of all, for the equalising score, because this was a big, big kick.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was calm enough in so far as there was no one better we could have on the ball at that stage. And Ryan has a kind of an attitude in his sport, you know, he makes plenty of mistakes in his games, but he moves on from it very quickly. He just wants to get the ball again, wants to create a scoring chance and see can he take it. So his character actually served us well in that instance, because he actually fancied it. He fancied himself taking it, which is a great position to be in such an important kick, like, you know.
And what I get from Ryan as well, a load of other players like Olin, Dara, a load of them other players, that they enjoy their football as well, and that has to be a key aspect as well.
Well, they do. Look, I mean, again, the group of players we have, we sit down, we look at them, what have we got? We've got fellas that can play football. And so we play kind of an attacking brand of football now. Some say it's too attacky at times. You know, we had a good lead the last day. But, you know, I think, you know, guys at that age, you want them to enjoy their sport as much as possible. And look, winning the championship really is a bonus as from a coaching point of view or player development point of view. You know, we played Castlehaven, we played Carbery Rangers, we played Newstone, as you said earlier there. Now, to win the championship, beating the three of them was a great achievement. But equally, from my point of view, is the exposure to the guys, testing themselves against guys that are playing at a higher level, and seeing that they're able to bring that confidence back to Timmy League, bring it back to Barrow, and try and make our junior team stronger. Like, you know, that's the ultimate aim.
You mentioned the junior teams there, like Arbery Rangers obviously reached the final of the Junior A Football Championship, just getting beaten by St. James in the final. Barrow have a few good players who've been on paper as well. So, like, this under 21 win will spur the confidence for them lads to go on and do brilliant things at the Junior Championship as well, I would imagine.
Well, look, that's what we hope, but that's not a given. You know, the work is still going to have to put in. It's a new competition. What we did this year under 21 will have zero bearing on the Premier Junior Hurling Championship next year or the Junior A Football Championship next year, you know. And I think then, you know, a lot of it is mindset. Like, you know, these guys, you know, four of that Newstone team last Sunday there, four of them played in the forwards against their rogue in the relegation Premier Senior Football Final over in Brinny. I watched it. They're just used to big games, losing big games as well as winning them. You have to move on. You have to be ruthless in your attitude. Get ready for the week after. And I suppose, you know, at lower levels in sport, maybe that's one of the things you have to work on, really. You know, the mindset about how you approach your games. You know, accept the challenge. See where you are at the end of the game. Are you good enough? Are you not? What you need to do? Go back. Try and improve. So getting the little gut checks against the likes of Newstown and Bandon and Carbery Rangers and Castlehaven along the way, it's invaluable as far as I'm concerned for what we're trying to do and develop a new bunch of players for both Ireland clubs, you know.
I suppose like playing them sort of big clubs like Bandon, the Town, Castlehaven, or Football Royalty there, Carbery Rangers won the under 21 championship last season. Like playing these big sides will only age you in the long run, really.
Yeah, if you go about it the right way, Matthew, you know, you have to. You know, some guys will shy away from it and they won't turn up and say, oh, you know, they'll still be in awe. They'll watch them the Sunday before in a senior match and you go play them in championship in their own age group and they'll really watch them again. And that's what you have to prevent happening. You have to go and test yourself, see where you are. You know what I mean? Initially, the under 21 football was two groups. The time went against the West Cork board and they changed it to, they rejigged the draw, open draw, and we could see the path. We'd Castlehaven in the first round. If we won there, we had possibility of playing Ross Carbery or on Gales, and then the other side had Newstone and Clan, whoever. So, you know, it was there in front of us, and it kind of focused the mind really. To be fair to the lads, everything we put in front of them before the championship started, they took it on. We went up and played MTUC Freshers in a very good game. And, like, you know, you have to give the lads a lot of credit. The Wednesday night before we played Castlehaven, we had 21 or 2 guys up in Mornabby. playing Clyde Rovers in an under-21 football challenge, which was a great game. Clyde really tested us there in the second half. They came back at us strong, and it was ideal preparation. But my point is, they turned up. They turned up to those games. They prepared properly because they knew what they were facing, and they accepted that they had to go about their business properly to meet Castlehaven down in Ross in the first round, you know?
I suppose, take it back to yourself, like, you managed Valley Rovers in the last few seasons in senior football. You managed, obviously, Arcady Rangers in the Premier Junior Hurling Championship this season as well. And this, now you're managing the under-21 IBM Gales team, obviously. Like, what would be the big difference between managing underage and senior sides?
I looked at, looks again, you can break it down. You can look at the likes of the guys that have having to coach the experience in the under-21 team. They're well used to meetings prior to games, maybe on a Friday night, and the tactics board coming out and bits and pieces happening. Other guys then in the panel mightn't be used to that. So you just have to be aware of your audience. Don't overface them. But it's a great introduction to kind of really, you know, tactics and setup. Like, I mean, when you're going facing the likes of Jack Cahalan, David Buckley, all these guys, expose very quickly, like, you know. And I enjoyed that as well. I enjoyed that part of it. Before every game, we met in the dressing room below in Timmy League, and we had our little meeting. We went through the tactics board, got sorted, and we all left together. So you'd be hoping all that will just add into the development of all the players, like, you know, and just kind of bring them on.
I suppose the camaraderie of the whole team, like you mentioned, a lot of them went to Clonakilty Community College, a lot of them go to college together, I think, as well, in Cork. So yeah, the lads are great friends as well, and that must be a key aspect and why they're so successful as well.
Ah, they are. I mean, like, you know, I'd often someone pass a comment like, how are you getting on, or do they get on, and all, so I just laugh at them, like, you know. I mean, I've been in a lot of dressing rooms, and this dressing room in particular is the tightest dressing room I've ever been in. They just, from the word go, they're just a nice bunch of lads, and look, they were nervous starting out. I can remember them back under 15, 16 there, and they were, you know, it was tough on them, but they stuck with it. They got the reward. Like, that team hasn't won anything in 5 years since under 16. No, there's a good reason for that. They were away playing Premier 1 and Premier 2 football for the last 3 years minor, you know, and maybe some people might have forgot that, but we got to the final of the non-exam league there a couple of years ago against Douglas, lost at the last kick of the game. We've played Mallow, Glanmire, the Bears, Ballincollig. So they've got plenty of exposure throughout the last couple of years being minor, but it has definitely brought them on because, look, they weren't as good as the teams they were playing all the time, and they had to tighten up as a group and back each other and help each other out. And definitely this season it helped. As I said, I think 6 games, I think we won all of them by more than just one score. So, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And it's a kind of joke amongst ourselves, really. Like, you know, we let people think what they want to think about it, and are we tight or not? But anybody involved knows the truth, like, you know.
And like the lads growing up together, they play very well. Obviously, they won the under-20 championship. Like, even for a few players, like, there's aspirations to even play for Cork in the future. Like, what will this win really do for their aspirations to go play for Cork in the future as well?
Well, I suppose you'd hope that would just give them the motivation to go away and do their gym work at the moment in preparation for next year, and analyse their season past and see where they were good and where they need to improve. And that's all you can do. You can just keep improving and, you know, keep trying to playing well and hope that phone call comes. Like, but that doesn't happen again. There's a lot of work goes into it before that happens, you know. And especially with the new age grades, you know, under 17, under 20, you know, I think there'll be less guys of those age groups coming through because 18 and 21, you weren't closer to the adult competition, especially under 21, and you had a fair idea what a guy was about. Fellas still playing 18 or 19 years of age, playing under 20 in the county football, it's fast, it's quick, it's a bit loose. You know, there's a couple of other boxes to be checked before anybody progresses onto senior in the county sport, you know.
And finally, I suppose, just looking forward to next year for both clubs, for Barry Row and Aberdeen and Junior Championship. Like the future does bode well for both sides, maybe the hurling as well, and the football in the Junior A Championship, with St. James is obviously going to Premier Junior, so they're all the way. So, like, would there be kind of a confidence there to get more trophies at the board at a junior level?
I wouldn't say confidence. I would say the opportunity is there if they go about their business properly for both clubs. Now, look, that Premier Junior Hurling Championship this year, I was very, very impressed with the standard in it. Like, I'd been involved in Premier Senior Football for a couple of years. You know, I can see Ballygiblin, likes of Ballygiblin, Russell Rovers, all these teams. They would survive in a grade, one or two grades above what they're playing, no problem. They might win it, but they'd survive there, absolutely no problem. So that Premier Junior Hurling is actually a very, very decent standard. And like you can see it, Ballygiblin got to the All-Ireland final last year, Russell Rovers in the final year before, and Ballygiblin looked like they're going to make it again this year. Standard is very high there. So, you know, speaking from Timmy's point of view, you know, we'd be just focused on the draw, who's in a group, trying to get out of the group would be job number one. Going back to the football, you know, I still think, you know, looked at the West Cork final this year, it was kind of men against boys, really, if you want to just put a general term about it. And, you know, very difficult to win adult competitions when half of your team is still under 21. You know, you have to be patient. You have to look for those incremental improvements. Make sure the attitude stays good. You know, put the facilities and the program in place for them to improve. But I think you just have to be patient. I don't think you can expect anything to happen very quickly, like, you know.
Well, hope for your sake anyway that Aberdeen Rangers do well, and of course Barrow and both clubs at the IB in region, like, they're two fantastic clubs and a fantastic achievement to win the double under 21A championships this season. Thanks, Paul, for your time on the Star Sport podcast. Best of luck for next season, and yeah, good times for IB and roll on.
Cheers, Matthew. Take care.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
On Sunday at 1 p.m. in Kilmallock, the Navarbon ladies footballers take on Salt Hill Knocknacarra in the All-Ireland Club Junior Final. Navarbon from Ballyvourna won the Munster title when they beat Limerick Kingpins in Oula in November. And their captain, Una Tuhig, has been speaking to Ger McCarty.
Now, we are delighted here on the Southern Star podcast to be joined by a very busy football captain ahead of the current county All-Ireland Ladies Football Junior Final, and that is Navarbon's Una Tuig, who joins us here to preview their big showdown with Salt Hill Knocknacarra this Sunday. Una, you're very welcome to the Southern Star podcast. How are you?
I'm good, Ger. Thanks for having me on.
Lovely to talk to you again. As we were saying just before we started recording, Navarbon are the last remaining Cork ladies football team in any competition at this time of the year, which is rare, but it also brings a bit more attention. So I'd say you've been busy as a captain and your team dealing with a bit more media coverage than you'd be used to at this time of the year.
I suppose you could say that, right? It's great. It's great that we're still in the All-Ireland and that we are the only Cork team in it. It gives a bit more light on Navarbon and the club itself, and, you know, how the clubs come strength to strength and our underage teams and stuff like that. But sure, look, no one's used to this media train, so we'll just take it as it comes, really, to be honest. But just loving every moment of it at the moment, though.
Yes, and probably the best way to treat it at the moment, because what a year it's been for you. Before we talk about what's to come, have you had a chance to stop and think about what's happened? Because I remember talking to you after beating O'Donovan Rossa in a beautifully sunlit MTU, sun-kissed MTU, when you became county junior champions. Since then, you've gone on to win the Munster in pretty nasty conditions. And the last day I was on the pitch also to watch you get reaching All-Ireland Junior Final in your home parish against Castle Blaney Falls from Monaghan. So you've played in pretty much four seasons and a bit more to get to this point. But what a run. What a run it's been.
It is. And I don't think we've stopped to take it in at the moment, just to see how far we've come and what we've reached and stuff like that. But you know, you're just kind of taking every day as it comes. You're just treating every game as, you know, another game that we have to win and stuff. But probably come next Sunday or Saturday even, it'll be a different ball game. There'll be butterflies fluttering around and stuff. But to say this has been a remarkable year is something else. Between with our minors getting off to the winning start last December, I think it was the 8th of December, they won their first county to our under-21s, and now to us going on to the All-Ireland. It's just, I don't think anyone in the club realised we could get this far really at the start of the year.
Yeah, as you said, like, I mean, even the under 21 success, probably, and the underage success that you got. I know Noel, your manager, Noel McDonough, keeps referring back to that winning that county was a kind of a breaking, you know, a good breakthrough for the group of players that are now part of this adult junior team, senior team. I think this has been coming, though, because I think there's such a good panel of players there, and I think you'd agree with me on that. You're not over-reliant on one or two people for scores in all the games. There's a good spread of scores, and that the general overall, you know, quality of the panel, and that's the 30 plus players. You needed that because, God, you've had some amount of matches this year.
We have, and that's it. You know, like, yeah, we keep going back to the success of the underage gradients and stuff, but I think it was for the older side of the team to see them coming through and to see the potential that they have, that they just needed that bit of calmness when they come do step up to the junior and stuff. So we're able to push through that mental block that we probably had for the last 2 or 3 years, that, you know, we just couldn't get past the semifinals of the county and stuff. But like, the talent on the team from 1 to 30 is something extraordinary. Like, the fact we could easily probably win intermediate if everyone played exactly how they could play at training, is, you know, but when big games come, obviously, of course, you get the nerves, get the best of us and stuff. But yeah, and that's a great thing. We're not reliant on one person up and forward. We have at least 5 or 6 players running off of someone. So, like, it'll make a really hard defence to try and mark, like, when you have 6 or 7 running at you and stuff. So it's great.
And you're not bad at the back either, as you've so politely decided to avoid, because you're quite a good defence. It's the one thing I spoke about last week as well against Castleblaney Forest from Monaghan, and what a battle that was from start to finish. I mean, you eventually won out 12 points to 7, but in difficult conditions, a heavy pitch, you're at home as well, you know, being at home, I think, as well. I mean, that brings the added pressure, Una. Did you feel that added pressure coming into it? Look, you know the pitch inside out, the whole parish and more turned out. It was a fantastic atmosphere because Castleblaney brought a huge crowd with them as well. But for a lot of the younger girls, I would imagine, on your panel, they may not have experienced, or even the older girls, that level of, you know, a crowd, of an atmosphere, and the importance, and of course the caveat, of an All-Ireland final for the winners. Like, you handled it, obviously, because you won 12 points to 7, but you also managed to shut down a very, very potent attack and kept them to 7 points. I mean, that's serious going. But talk to me about just the build-up to that semi-final in Ballyvourney, because it was huge excitement, but a lot of added pressure?
I wouldn't say a lot of added pressure, just a small bit of added pressure of, like, you know, if you're going down to the shop and then you've every single person saying best to look Saturday, John, you were just so used to flying under the radar that, like, oh, they have another game, that's fine, there's nothing major happening there. But yeah, like, it didn't really, like, because we were saying on the Thursday before the game that, you know, it doesn't feel like an All-Ireland semi-final, which is a good thing. I think we were focused on the game and the jobs we had to do in hand and stuff. And but then when everyone started arriving into the pitch on the Sunday and all the stewards were out and all the flags were out and stuff, it kind of slowly started to sink in that it was a big deal. And then when we were warming up and stuff and the stand was, I'd say, nearly 3/4 of the way full, like, running out into the pitch for the start of the game, I don't think any player has experienced that crowd or cheer at a home game, let alone, like, if you're even playing county and stuff. But it was absolutely fabulous to see every single person that came out to support us, and including the Castleblaney that brought down their, I think, 2 full busloads, they came down with them as well. So it's just great to see such support as well coming back into ladies football and stuff at club level for junior. So it's wonderful.
Certainly is. I think you're playing it down, though, because I think I even noticed, I know you're the captain, so you've got to, you've been told by your manager as well, I'd imagine. But coming into Ballyvourney and seeing all those flags and everything, I was the same. I was kind of going, okay, this is obviously not Ireland semi-final. It's a big deal. And it's a different time of the year as well, because it's so late in the year. And you've been going since January. That's one of the things, Una, from speaking to the players on the pitch afterwards, each of them kind of earmarked the fact that you've been going since January, if not before it. That's, you're coming up on 12 months. I know you're not going every weekend, but between winning a junior championship in the Cork LGFA, which is one of the toughest championships to win because there's so many good teams in there, including yourselves, to come out of that and then to go on and win Munster and now to reach an All-Ireland, that's not an easy thing to do at all. When you look back now, when you started, if it was roughly around January, like, can you believe now that here we are 11 months later, you're in an All-Ireland final? The year must have flown for you, but I mean, you've been together quite a long time. to get to this point, and you needed to stick together to get to this point. But that's a long time to be on the road too.
It is. And, you know, like even back in January when we did start training and, you know, coming in together, you know, some girls were slow to come back because it was so early and, you know, they're just resting up the body and stuff. So it was kind of, I would say we didn't hit the ground running in January like we were setting out for to win your Ireland. We just said, you know, slowly give girls a chance to come back, you know, slowly build in the league, look at things that we have to work on and stuff. And then obviously our main goal was to win the championship. But as you say, like everything, and I know it's such a cliche, everything after championship is a cherry on top, but it honestly is. And I think that's how we're treating as well. So that's like, no one's getting too big for their boots or anything like that. We're just taking every game as it comes. We analyse our own game of where, like, we're not, Noel is great to say, yeah, he played well, but he's also great to say we have four more points that we need to pick up, that if we got, you know, we need to work on these straight away. So, like, it's a good mixture of excitement, but staying grounded and just knowing that we're still not there yet. We still have one more game to go, and then come Sunday, we'll, you know, we'll relax and just enjoy the Christmas then. But, like, getting into, as you say, we're nearly 12 years on it, and you're getting into training and you're hearing Christmas songs being played and you're like soaking wet from the pitch. It's, I don't think we've ever experienced that before, so it's a strange but wonderful experience.
Yeah, well put, actually. It is quite strange, and it is quite late in the year, as you said. Talk to me about Noel McDonough, your manager, and the management team, because the after-match interview he gave me immediately after beating Castleblaney Falls and reaching an All-Ireland final and doing all the things you've just spoken about, you would not have guessed. He's just the coolest customer ever. I doubt, Una, he's that cool all the time, but he certainly is very cool when he deals with me and other members of the media. We're very appreciative of how well you've interacted with the media. You've made our life very easy, including Noel. But talk to me, how is he getting on in the build-up to this, or can you tell me?
No, and like, that is like what you see is what you get with Noel. He is very calm and cool, and like, he is a knowledge of football that we're only delighted that he's able to share out with us and stuff. And, you know, he'll break down any game that we played since the county. He's broken down the players, he's broken down where they're threatening, where we need to work and where we can attack on them and stuff like that. But as you say, like, he is as cool as he is with you as he is with us. You know, there's no seriousness, there's no shouting, it's all just, you know, nice and relaxed. You know, there's a bit of crack at training every time. So, and you know, he's always wanted to get stuck into training with us. So I'd say when you see that as well, it kind of just, it brings us closer together as a team as well. And as for the rest of the management, it's just, everyone's just so excited and happy that, like, they're just treating it like a normal game. And it's not like we don't appreciate that we're in the All-Ireland and stuff, but I think if we think about it too much, the nerves could get the better of us. So we're just kind of, it's another game on Sunday. We just go out, play our best, stick to our game plan, and then hopefully we'll come out champions.
How easy a team is it for Noel McDonough to manage? I mean, obviously there's a bond there because you've won quite a lot this year, and I know you've celebrated, and I know you're not going to tell me about the celebrations even if I try to ask. But I could see even in the aftermath of the Castleblaney Falls and the All-Ireland semi-final win, you know, all the parents and then people that came on to say thanks to you and to congratulate. Like, it was a real nice moment to have those fans on the field with you. I know you were all wrecked tired and you wanted to get back to the dressing room, but there was no hope of that happening because so many people wanted to say well done to you. But within the dressing room, I know there's crack and I know there's banter, but are you an easy team to coach now? And remember, you're the captain here, so you've free reign.
No, I'll be polite. I think we are, to the fact, you, as a girls' team, there's always going to be chit-chat, there's always going to be gossip. You know, you're not going to have a quiet training when you train a ladies' football team. And Noel and the rest of the lads understand that. So, like, obviously, when they're telling us points and stuff, we have to listen to it. We will listen to it, but then in 2 minutes' time, someone could be talking about something that happened on TV, you know. So there is a great bond between the team as well, because there's such a kind of variance of ages. That you wouldn't even think it when you're on the team itself. Everyone talks about everything, you know, there's no bad blood between everyone. And I think that kind of shows as well from coming from a small community and area that everyone knows everyone. So they only want the best for each other. And then, as you said, when all the parents and the kids and everyone came onto the pitch after the game last weekend, it was just, kids used to just nearly break down crying with the happiness of everybody around and the joy in Bellavorne and surrounding areas. It's just remarkable.
It certainly was. That's lovely. That's well put as well. I mean, you could, I saw it firsthand and I saw it when you won the county title, what it meant. But certainly reaching an All-Ireland final for a lot of people. And as you said, the difference in the age scales, I think within the actual panel of Naomh Vaughan has been a big help too, because a lot of you have been on the road a while without aging. But a lot of the younger girls probably look to you in tight situations. And probably, I think a lot of you, without naming names now, because there's so many good players on your team, I think a lot of players have grown up in the last two or three months and had to grow up very quickly, because it's very difficult to win a county title, whatever about the physicality of it. But when you get into Munster and you get into this stage, as you probably can attest, it's a whole different ball game. But you must be pleased with how the young players on the panel have reacted and grown up as it is over the last couple of months.
I am. And I, like, exactly as you said, like, winning Cork County was great and stuff, but it was still just kind of the jitterness and stuff that when you get out of your comfort zone of the county, you start to see how girls handle pressure. You know, if they get too, you can start to get to know their tails, that if they're too nervous or if they're just too anxious about something. So I couldn't be more than thrilled and delighted for the girls that every game they play, they're just, that sense of calmness is coming on, the maturity is coming on. They just, you know, how many times it's drilled into her heads, take that extra second on the ball. They're actually doing it now. So it's, you know, it's great to see that in such a short space of time that they've probably grown up in probably what could have been 3 years of football if we hadn't won Cork County. But at that then again, like, it's just, it's that bond between the players that they, you know, they can look to the older ones to say, just to double check something, is this the right thing to do? Or, you know, should I be here? Should I be out in the wing and stuff like that? So it's a good mix now that we have on the team of calmness and fitness and young ones that can run around all day.
Calmness, yeah, and young ones that can run around there. Well put by the captain. You're the calmness, are you?
Yeah, I'm the one at the back, you know, telling you all to do what to do.
I think you might be hearing a bit more about this interview afterwards, Una. We'll see anyway. We're talking about today. Let's quickly look ahead to this All-Ireland, the current count.ie All-Ireland LGFA Junior Football Final. Naomh Vaughan, the Cork representatives, taking on Salthill Knocknacara, famous name now from Galway. And as I was saying to you before we started recording, it's amazing to me that this is their first ladies football All-Ireland final, because they're such a famous name. And I know from watching Kilcairn Clonburn over the last couple of years, certainly the team that beat Mourne Abbey, the mighty Mourne Abbey at senior level, there's no bad team that comes out of Connacht, let alone Galway, at this time of the year. So you know the kind of challenge that lies ahead. I know you've seen their semi-final. Irrespective of who it was going to be in the All-Ireland final, it was always going to be a tough game anyway, a cliche alert. But from what you've seen of Salthill, from what you know, little or much, whatever you know about them, you already know, Una, and so does your management team, that this is probably the stiffest challenge you're going to have all year. But look, you're in All-Ireland final, and why not?
And that's it. Like, of course, it's going to be absolutely, like, you're not coming into an All-Ireland final just to be in an All-Ireland final, and you're coming in to win it. Like, so we know it's going to go absolutely down to the wire at the end of the day. And the only thing that stands to us is that all of our games up till now haven't been walkovers. They've been close. We've had to work for it. So we're hoping that will stand to us as well. But from, you know, from what we know with Salthill and things, is that, look, they're a young team like ourselves. They're fit. They're just after coming off the back of winning the Intermediate Camogie last year and stuff. So they're still on the high with that. You know, come game day, it's, you know, you just don't know what way it's going to go. But hopefully now that we've the work done, that, you know, we'll just settle down to our normal game plan of how we build up from the back and attack then straight out and things. But, you know, we'll do a little bit more homework on them right now this week, just to make sure we're all safe and sound. But I'd say it's in for a cracker of a game on Sunday.
It certainly is going to be a cracker of a game in Kilmallock and County Limerick on Sunday. And we're expecting another huge crowd. I've no doubt that the parish of Ballyburney and surrounding areas are going to come and support you. And what a lovely moment, way to end the year, an All-Ireland final, something, as you said, you couldn't have envisaged at the start of the year. But generally, the teams that get to those finals, Una, from my experience, it's probably better off that they didn't, because you play with that little bit less fear. It's obviously going to be a big occasion and a huge occasion for everybody in the club and associated with them. It's just the thought of actually lifting an All-Ireland trophy after the year you've had would cap everything off. But I know you don't want to say that. But considering where Naomh Vaughan have come from in terms of ladies football and where you are, it's been a fantastic run, not just this year. And it hasn't taken just this year's success of Cork and Munster and hopefully All-Ireland. A lot of groundwork has been done in the last number of years at underage level. I know you'd want to pay tribute to the people behind the scenes as well, who we don't often see in Naomh Vaughan, who've made this happen.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like, it might look great this year, but it's been a hard fought year for the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 years. Nearly this group of players have been together. and Noel coming in. Tomás Murphy has been with us, I'd say, since Naval Bond ladies football started back in eon days. So, you know, for the people that have been behind the scenes for 10 to 15 years, it's wonderful to finally see us getting the success and recognition that is needed. Mm. But, like, as you say, it's just, you know, you don't think about it at the start of the year, and nor have we thought about it, you know, during the year. Even the Munster final, you never envision yourself lifting the County Cup or the Munster Cup or anything like that. But to be able to do it now is just something else. And to know that we have the talent and we have the, let's say, the need to go on and win the All Ireland is just, you know, it's something great to be putting back into the club again. And even after the game the last day, like, all the underage teams, girls and boys, were all, couldn't be more than happy to be coming on and saying well done to us and, you know, signing their gloves and stuff like that, which we've never experienced at all before. So it's just absolutely wonderful.
Excellent. And deservedly, thoroughly deserved, considering the effort that's been put in since the start of the year. But look, ahead of this Sunday's current account of the All-Ireland LGFA Junior Football Final between Cork champions Navan and Galway champion Saltil Knocknacara, Unatui, captain of Navan, everybody in the Southern Star and inside and outside the Southern Star, West Cork and beyond, wishes you all the best, the very best of luck. And hopefully the next time we're having a chat, we can talk about your third time lifting a trophy. And you can tell me a bit more about the celebrations as well.
I promise I will if we win the All-Ireland, definitely. Thanks,
Sure. Thanks very much for your time.
No bother.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Okay, Kieran, before we wrap up this week's edition of the Star Sport podcast, let's preview this week's Southern Star Sports section, which will be in shops on Thursday. And another additional piece of information about this Thursday's Southern Star is that it will also feature a very special 16-page motoring supplement. So if you're into your cars, this is the week to buy the Southern Star, because there's 16 juicy pages of motoring goodness. Well, Kieran, back to the important business of what's in the sports section. Take it away.
Yeah, it's we're now heading fast towards mid-December. The sport is still pretty busy here in West Cork. And two West Cork athletes are in Italy this weekend, and we've caught up with both ahead of the European Cross Country Championships. I was speaking to New Zealand athlete Jane Buckley from her base in Providence College in Rhode Island, and before she flew out to Italy on Wednesday, so she'll be in Italy on Thursday. So she'll be racing in the under 20 women's European Cross Country race just outside Turin. So Jane has had a terrific couple of months since she moved to Providence College in mid-August. So we've a good chat, and you can check out Thursday's Southern Star for that. And the other West Cork athlete is Darren McElhinney, and this will be his last ever under 23 race. So he's going for gold in the under 23 men's at the European Cross Country Championships. Think back to this time 12 months ago when Darren won silver, so he's hoping to go one better, but it's going to be really, really tough. The man who beat him last year, Charlie Hicks from Great Britain, is in the race again this year, and Charlie Hicks is in super form in the American Collegiate Circuit. So best of luck to Dara and for Jane. And you can read all about that in this Thursday's Southern Star. Really interesting piece, actually, we have is Tom Lyons is a fascinating read on the Little Nora Cup. That was a cup handed out to the winners of the Junior Football Championship here in West Cork for, I think it was nearly 50 years. And it went missing at one point back 7-8 years ago. And it was actually a front page story in the Southern Star sports section that actually found and uncovered that cup again. But Thomas put together a really nice piece on the Little Nora Cup, because a couple of weeks back it featured on a TG Cahir series on silverware stories. So that's a really nice piece by Tom and really worth checking out. It's just a historical piece and just really interesting. As well as that, we've all the news from the West Cork League, including the Beamish Cup draws, and the teams at the top, Clonakilty, Meath and Hob, had a draw, 1-1. Reuben Henry with a late goal. Drina Rangers are piling on the goals. Barry O'Driscoll, if he's listening to this podcast, he only got 4 goals the weekend. Only 4, Jack. So Barry will have to put up his socks and try and hit a high five before Christmas. But in all seriousness, Drina really back in the title hunt there. So we've all that.
Kilmurray, just on the West Cork League, Kieran, before you move on, just a shout out to the team topping the West Cork League Championship. It's the unbeaten Baltimore Crabs. They've won 6 games from seven played. It's almost as if at the minute I stopped playing for them, they found their feet and they found their form and they're marching towards promotion. So big shout out to all the Crabs. Great to see it.
Never want to correct you, Jack, but Baltimore second at the moment. Super Salan are top. So if any listeners from Salan are listening to this podcast now, I'll offer apologies on behalf of Jack McCarron.
I think you may have your information wrong, because based on what I'm seeing on WhatsApp, the Crabs are storming toward promotion.
We'll have to get your Baltimore tinged sunglasses off you, Jack. We'll have to find. Don't worry. In Thursday's Southern Star, we'll have the correct championship table. I'll make sure that I have the up to date table in Thursday's Southern Star. But as well as that, Kilmurry are in Munster Junior Club Football final action this Sunday. Did a little matter of trying to stop the Clifford brothers from Fossa, David Clifford and Paddy Clifford. We also have more pictures from the recent West Cork LGFA Player of the Match Awards. And there's so much else going on besides that. I have an interview with Aidan O'Rourke. He's the Carby GA chairperson, because the Carby GA have their convention this Friday night. So I caught up with Aidan just to talk about some of the big topics from the past year. And also in his weekly column, Holly O'Sullivan will be hosting his first, I'm going to call him annual, can you call it his first annual GA award? So from his best player, from best performance to the team that impressed him the most. They're the Hawleys. Yeah. So all gone well, we'll have the first edition of the Hawleys in Thursday's Southern Star. So there's a hell of a lot going on, all great value. So get out on Thursday morning, get your local shop and pick up the Southern Star. Or Jack, you can get it online, can't you?
You can indeed, Kieran. For less than €2 per week, in fact, you can subscribe to the Southern Star online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper and read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for, yes, less than €2 per week. And along with all the regular content that you get every week, this week there's also a very special 16-page motoring supplement. So for all the gearheads in West Cork, don't forget to pick up this week's edition. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast. And thanks as well to our producer, Dylan Mangan, and reporter, Matthew Hurley. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And before we wrap up, I think Kieran is trying to tell me something very important, which I'm assuming is related to the top of the West Cork League Championship table. So Kieran, take it away before we finish.
Salan are top of the table ahead of your beloved Baltimore, but it's close, Jack. It's really close, right? So Salan, after 9 games, are on 21 points. Pretty impressive. Baltimore, after 7 games, are on 19 points. So just 2 points behind with 2 games in hand. Great season for Baltimore. Like you said, probably no coincidence, since you were transferred out of the club, not by your choice, but you were transferred out of the club. Baltimore have found a bit of form. And I just saw at the weekend, Dan McGowan is scoring goals. Kieran Lynch, they're a team in form right now. So is this the year for the Crabs, Jack?
I think so. Much improved since I was booted out of there. But great to see, and very happy for everyone involved. Let's wrap it there now, Kieran. Slán tomhail.